If you haven't figured out already, this morning's worship service is about love. Our message this morning is taken from Romans chapter 12. Chapter 12 divides itself into four distinct sections, each having to do with relationship. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 12 deal with our relationship to God. 3 to 8 is our relationship to ourselves. 9 to 13 is our relationship to others in the church. And 14 to 21 is our relationship with the world at large. All of chapter 12 is predicated upon a proper understanding of our relationship to God as defined by verses 1 and 2. The apostle has spent the majority of the letter pointing out the mercies of God. And now he asks his hearers to, on that basis, be living sacrifices, which according to the apostle is our proper relationship to God. As living sacrifices, we continually assure God that we are willing to live out our part in the new covenant. That is to say, we have been freed from sin and we can obey God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it is a joy to be obedient since we are assured by Jesus himself that his commands are not burdensome. As living sacrifices, we determine not to be conformed to the world's standard. Or as Phillips put it in his paraphrase, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And we also determine to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The word transformed is metamorphosis. And I trust everyone knows the meaning. A ugly, hairy caterpillar spins a cocoon around itself, and after a period of time, emerges as a completely new and changed form. The apostle teaches that as God and his word renews our mind, we become something totally different to what we were. And then we can reject the world's values and begin to practice the values of God's kingdom, we become holy, set apart for God's use. And one of these kingdom values we begin to practice is this thing called love. As living sacrifices, we reject the world's definition of love and its ensuing values, and instead focus on God's definition of love. We are to practice God's way of love, which is selfless and gives rather than takes. This morning we're going to focus on love as it pertains to our relationship to each other in the church. Our text is Romans 12, verses 9 to 13. These exhortations come at us rapidly, like wind-whipped waves crashing upon the shore of our minds. Romans 12, 9 to 13. Beloved, not two-faced, hating what is evil, clinging to the good, being devoted to one another with brotherly love, honoring one another above yourselves, not lacking in zeal, keeping your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in tribulation, faithful in prayer, sharing with God's people in need, practicing hospitality. Now that's in the original language how people that first heard this letter would have heard it. The apostle starts his instruction with a short statement. The love not two-faced. Or, as some translations put it, unhypocritical, or not practicing deception. The word hypocritical comes to us from the Greek theater. Most actors in the theater played at least two parts, and they were all male, unfortunately. And they used masks to identify the character they played. And one mask they held behind their back and the other in front of their face. And when they wanted to change character, they pulled the other mask out and put it in front of their face and hid the other. So the actor was literally two-faced, hypocritical. They called him a hypocrites, an actor with two faces. The apostle here insists that the love be always the same to everybody at all times. We're not to pretend to love some and love others. We're to love always the same. The word the in the love is not usually translated in English, but it's there. And Paul has a very specific love in mind. It's God's love gifted to us to use. And God's love is always the same, for he says himself, I change not. But what is this thing called love? The apostle here, by his use of language, teaches that the love is an attitude that leads to action. Love is a deep and genuine love, and it reaches out and meets needs. One wise pastor years ago said, a lot of people talk cream, but live skim milk. True Christian love, especially toward each other in the church, means that we live cream. Generous and rich love that fattens our relationships. The apostle is only giving voice to what all Scripture teaches about what love is. How do we know that God in Christ loves us? By what he did. Our ancillary reading this morning illustrates that point. God loved the world in this manner that he gave. He just didn't have a warm, fuzzy emotion about us all. He gave his son. It's an action because God loved us. Love in our lives is not simply primarily an emotion, but it's an attitude that leads to action. In the succeeding statements after the love, not two-faced, Paul gives us 12 results of unhypocritical love. And they're all action-oriented. Now, as we work our way through this passage, I'd like you to consider the ways in which these exhortations are being lived out in your life, or in the life of this congregation, or in other congregations of God's people you know about, because you'll see things being worked out as we work our way through this passage. So look for ways in which this is being worked out in the life specifically of this congregation as we work with each other. And as you do, remember the Reformation principle that we are saved by grace alone through faith alone. We cannot earn God's grace. We cannot earn God's favor. We have these attitudes and we take these actions accordingly, not to earn his love, but we have his love already. These exhortations primarily apply to the love that we are to show each other. The first two results of true Christian love is the hating of evil. The word is better translated loathing. We're to hate evil with a passion, abhorring evil. And conversely, we are to be clinging to the good or being glued to. The word has a connotation of two things being glued together. We're to be glued to the good, to be inseparable from the good. Now, Scripture is replete with definitions of good and evil, so we should all know what is and is not good. We should take action when confronted with evil to protect each other because we love each other. We are to recognize and avoid evil as we concentrate on doing good because we exhibit the love. The next two results of true unhypocritical love that the apostle lists are almost the same in meaning in verse 10. Being devoted to each other, to be tenderly affectionate toward each other. Today we would use the initials TLC, which is tender loving care. That's how we're to treat each other, tender loving care. And he adds to do this in a brotherly love. We're to love each other as family members. Next, he says, honor one another above yourselves. Honor literally means to give more value to, or to prefer others above yourself, or to show deference to others. It also has a connotation to lead the way for others. That's why some translations have lead each other in showing love. Some have wrongly translated it outdo each other in showing love, and that implies a competition. We're not in competition with each other. We simply lead by example, loving each other. Now remember to be thinking of ways that we are living this out in this congregation. The next three results of true unhypocritical love are in verse 11, which really can be turned around to read, serving the Lord, never be lacking in zeal, but keeping your spiritual fervor. The word serving means a willing slave. In that era, there were two kinds of slaves, an unwilling slave that was captured in battle and made a slave, or someone who became a willing slave to another, to a family. We're to be willing slaves or servants of the Lord. Not lacking in zeal. Well, that really means don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. But be busy and active and industrious in our love. In the last part, keeping your spiritual fervor really can be best translated, keep your spirit boiling hot. In other words, there's no room in our lives for kind of being lackadaisical in our love to each other. Keep your love, your spirit, boiling hot. The next three results of true unhypocritical love are found in verse 12. Being joyful in hope, being patient in affliction, and being faithful in prayer. Joyful in hope. One writer put it this way, we are to be hilariously cheerful when we see the hope involved in our lives. Joyful in the New Testament is characterized by a deep sense of spiritual well-being, which corresponds to the Hebrew word shalom, which is a sense of well-being in life and in death. We are to have and to encourage others in the church to seek a deep sense of well-being in the hope that we have, which is our trust in Christ. Hope also has the element of the expectation of something good. So we're to have a deep sense of well-being in something good that is going to happen, and we know that's going to happen because God said so. Then we're to be patient in affliction. Patience in this context is steadfast endurance in extreme trial. It has to do with circumstance. And affliction has its meaning in the idea of being crushed like an olive in an olive press or like grapes in a grape press. It's an oppression, a tribulation, a distress. So when we are crushed, when we have this feeling of being crushed, we're to have this steadfast endurance. And we're to show others that love because they're hurting. Paul counsels that we persevere in tribulation in order that others in the church might follow our example. And it's tough to do. There are people here in this congregation who know how tough that is. This is not stoic indifference, but it's an active patience because of God's grace operating in our lives. Then Paul avers that we are to be faithful and not to give up, and to be constantly engaged in request and petition and conversing with our God and teaching and encouraging others in the community of God to be faithful in prayer. Because we love each other with this deep, genuine love that takes action. Now, I hope thoughts are coming fast as you contemplate how these attitudes and actions are being lived out here in our lives together. The last two results of true unhypocritical love in our midst are Paul's exhortations in verse 13, sharing with God's people who are in need and practicing hospitality. The word sharing means active participation in other people's lives. Active participation. Whether it be financial, emotional, or spiritual, true love seeks out needs and puts them to rights. Finally, he enjoins them to be practicing hospitality. The word practicing means to be constantly engaged in. It's a present tense word. It means to be continually, constantly engaged in something. And hospitality is to receive someone as a special guest and treat them with kindness. And as I was preparing, I remembered my first few weeks with this congregation some 8-9 years ago, and found that I was received as special. And it made a big impression on me that people went out of their way to receive me as special, to be treated with kindness. Hospitable not only means in our homes, but also to find ways to make people special and be treated with kindness all over the place. Even as we drive our cars, we can be hospitable. So there they are. 12 results of true, unhypocritical love that operates in and among the people of God. May we continue to pursue with vigor these results, because we have been gifted with this thing called love. Amen.